Welcome back all of you to my third episode of the podcast Nationalism in India. Hope you all are fine and taking good care of yourself. Please, please, please do take care of yourself. Health is very, very, very important. If health is good, if health is in the sound mode, you can do anything, trust me. In the previous episode, you all have learned something. I hope so. If you have learned something, then it's a time to test your knowledge. So I'm giving you only 3 questions. I request you all to pen down these questions and answer me all these questions in the message section of my podcast. Right? So write down the question. The first question is, who was Mangal Pandey? I'm repeating, who was Mangal Pandey? Question number 2, what was the immediate cause of revolt of 1857? I'm repeating for you all. What was the immediate cause of revolt of 1857? Question number 3. Why the revolt of 1857 was also known as spoil mutiny? Right? So these were the questions for you all as today's assignment to know your knowledge. Are you all really learning or just listening? Okay, so yes, please write answers of all these questions and message me. Thank you all. Yes, so now we are going to start today's episode. So are you all ready? Okay. So please take a deep breath. Fill yourself with the positive energy by taking deep breath inside you. Very good. Dear all, it is a very well known fact that a goal without a plan is just a wish. Yes, do you all agree? I hope that you all agree with me. It's a very important thing that we do often desire for achieving something very special. We just wish that this should happen to us. We should get this. Such desires are quite obvious and quite common to all of us. But even when we are not having a proper planning to fulfill that desire, then we are not able to fulfill it. It just remains a desire. So planning is very important. It is very crucial to fulfill your desire so that it should come in reality. It should not be only in dreams, isn't it? However, planning sometimes fails. In most of the cases, it leads to the desirable result. In case of the revolt of 1857, we have seen that how the uprising started, but nothing was planned. Okay, and you can just imagine here that what could have happened. It can be easily guessed by you all. Yes, the guesswork is very easy. Why? Because the spoils, the Indian troops who were ready to raise their voice against the British people, they were having no plan. They just had a desire to get the freedom. But there was no proper planning. So what happened? On 10th May 1857, we all can still remember through our history textbook, and that day of uprising is very important. In the last episode, I have mentioned the names of 85 spies who were sentenced to, or we can sentenced, or who were court-martialed. Now, it is very important to note here that in their name, today also in famous Victoria Park, there is a memorial which has been raised to commemorate the sacrifice of those 85 spies. So if you have not seen, I would just request you all to see that. It's very important, and in this way we will be able to connect ourselves to that time period. We would be able to understand the sacrifices made by them, or we can say the sacrifices initiated by them for us. The day 10th May 1857 was very important, okay? And that day of uprising was important, and there in Meerut especially, the marketplace witnessed violent, loud noise. Okay, spoils, they turned into the freedom fighters and they took rifles under their control. So all these things happened. Why? Because of those 85 spoils who had courage to raise their voice. Right? So this kind of courage was spread among others, and the spies of other regiments, they also were ignited. The spark of revolt was ignited among them also. They were holding the torch. They were holding the torch of the revolt. And in the morning of 11th May 1857, a band of spies marched to the city of Delhi from Meerut to Delhi. Okay, they marched from Meerut to Delhi. And as I have mentioned in the previous episode, if you remember, the distance, the approx distance of Meerut to Delhi, you must remember. So they've just marched from Meerut to Delhi, and this was not so easy, dear. You are just thinking the distance was approximately 65 kilometers, approximately. Okay, so you can just imagine the long distance, and still the spies, they decided to march. Now what happened? They just went, and on the way there is a very important police station, and here I would like to mention the name of very important Kotwal. Okay, the name of very important Kotwal, and his name was Dhan Singh Kotwal. Dhan Singh name, if you have read the different books, if you have gone through the book of a famous researcher, Crispin Bates, his book Mutiny at the Margins, Perspectives on Indian Uprising 1857, speaks in volume about him. Not only this, if you have gone through the book of Kim A. Wagner, a British historian, in his book The Great Fear 1857, Conspiracies and Making of Indian Mutiny, you will find his name and you will find more information about him. Now, who was he? He was a Kotwal, as the name suggests, Kotwal Dhan Singh. He was a Kotwal, and his name is important in this great rebellion. Okay. As the rebellion broke out on 10th May 1857, Dhan Singh and his several policemen, they deserted police force and led thousands of villagers from all across the Meerut to city's jail. Okay, his native village was village Pancholi in Meerut. Okay, and Pancholi villagers, they assemble in front of the jail and making the English police officers to release Indian prisoners. Now, as per the official records, around 839 prisoners from the jail were released with the help of these villagers and, of course, Dhan Singh Kotwal. This was very important, as these prisoners were helpful in improvising the process of revolt. Okay, the process of revolt progressed because of these prisoners. Now, this was important. That is why his name is important. Fine, and this was supreme sacrifice which he made. His native village, Pancholi village in UP, is very important place. Dear all, if you get time, you must visit this place. And here, the English policemen, they have later on killed over 500 villagers and hanged over 40 people and executed Dhan Singh. This was their later action. For every action, there was a reaction, and that happened with them all. That is why recently, in the year 2018, the UP's Director General of Police, OP Singh, what he did, he unveiled the statue of Kotwal Dhan Singh by remembering his contribution near Sadar police station. And this was something very remarkable. It reminded us the supreme sacrifice made by this Kotwal. Right? Although the reaction of the British forces on them was not good, it can be regarded as a merciless action. And remember this, merciless action is always an inhuman act. An inhuman act is something which God always sees. So never try to commit something which is inhumane. Right? So his name was important, that is why I have mentioned here. Coming back to the story, now on 10th May all these things happened, and after this, on 11th May, after entering the Red Fort, through Raj Ghat Gate, the spoils declared Bahadur Shah as their leader, and he was proclaimed as Shehenshah Hindustan. Right? And this capture of Delhi was very important because it gave a political meaning to the revolt. Okay? And it provided a rallying point for the rebels, as they could recall the past glories of this imperial city. The Delhi has been very important city, especially in the Mughal time. How the Mughals, they have give an example of good architecture, or I can say majestic architecture, especially in the reign of Shah Jahan. So that was the situation, dear all, and that is why I was here mentioning you each detail, and these details are very important to connect yourself to the history. Now in Delhi, when this voice reached, now they had a leader, they could actually plan something. So even if there was no planning and organization before the revolt, now we can say that it was done, something was done, and it was started. It spread to the northern and the central part of India, the main centers of the revolt, as you all remember. It's very clear: Kanpur, Delhi, Lucknow, Bareilly, Jhansi, Gwalior, Ara in Bihar. So all these were the main centers, especially in the northern and the central part of India, and each center had leaders, the leaders to lead the revolt, and they were leading as per their perspectives. Okay, they were not getting support from the other parts of India. So here I would like to mention that yes, from the other parts of India, the people or the Indians, they were not supporting the rebels. So a few section supported, but the other parts, the other regions of India, the southern part especially, they did not support, and the country as a whole was not behind them, right? So this point is something which should be highlighted and noted everywhere, that they were not getting support from the other regions. The merchants, intelligentsia, and the Indian rulers not only kept aloof but actively supported the British. Why? As they still had trust in the British officials. The British officers, they were in greed. Greed for what? Greed for the material needs. They were not thinking about the nation. They were thinking only about their own interest. They were not thinking at that time also about their nation. So this was a main drawback. But still the rebels or the leaders of different or the main centers, they were holding the flag of liberation. Liberation from whom? Liberation from the British people. And alone they were carrying the march. At Delhi, as I have mentioned, Bahadur Shah was the leader. Then in Lucknow, Begum Hazrat Mahal. At Kanpur, Nana Sahib, Tatya Tope, Jhansi, we all know Rani Lakshmi Bai. Bihar, Kuvar Singh was there. In Allahabad and Banaras, Maulvi Liaqat. In Faizabad, Maulvi Ahmadullah. In Bareilly, Bahadur Khan. So all these leaders were there, and they were trying to bring the lost glories of their nation. They were having different problems in their regions. Still, they were ready to bear this flag. We have witnessed different causes, the different causes here. I would like to mention those causes, but before that, let me brief you about the important leaders of the revolt. The first important leader which I would like to mention here was Rani Lakshmi Bai, India's warrior queen, who did not back down from the British. She was at the heart of the Indian Rebellion that broke out in 1857. She was born in 1828 and in the present-day Varanasi, northeast India. And in her childhood days, she was trained with boys in martial arts, horse riding. That was something very peculiar about her. In 1842, she was married to Gangadhar Rao. And the couple adopted 5-year-old boy, Damodar Rao. She organized the forces to fight the colonists. And under the company forces under general, the senior military official of English, General Hugh Rose, she was able to give a tough fight. And it was his statement that she was a man among mutineers. Her bravery was very noteworthy. You must remember the famous doctrine of Labs, which was passed by Lord Dalhousie, the Governor General, and due to this, in Jhansi especially, what happened? He did not allow the Queen of Jhansi to adopt her did not allow the Queen of Jhansi to give powers to her adopted son to succeed to the throne after her husband died. So this made Jhansi unsafe. Still, with her bravery, she fought with the British forces. That was something important. The second name, her guru, was Tatya Top, who was already holding the leadership of Kanpur, Gwalior, or we can say the central region. He won over the Indian troops of East India Company stationed at Kanpur and established Nana Sahib's authority and became the commander-in-chief of his revolutionary forces. Right, Nana Sahib was already at Kanpur. So his main technique was guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla warfare was very popular. This technique was used by him, and it was not easy for the British to capture him. He was later on captured in 1859. So this was the case of Tatya Top. And here, the name of Kuvar Singh, you all know, he was a famous samiddar of Jagdishpur and a 70-year-old man who was on the brink of bankruptcy. He had been deprived of his estates by the Englishmen or the British, and despite of his repeated appeals to they had not given him his estates. So even though he had not planned for the uprising, he unhesitatingly joined the spoils. Right, from Bihar, he was the one who was leading the revolt. Right, so about Maulavi Ahmadullah also here, I would like to mention, he was from Faizabad, and he was the one whose name is important in this revolt of 1857. He was also known as Danka Shah. Right, so many names are there, many things happened, and the spoils, they were doing what they wanted to have. Whatever the sufferings they had suffered. Now here, you must note the causes of revolt of 1857. And here, briefly, I will be just helping you to understand in four important bifurcation, the causes of the revolt of 1857. The first one, socio-religious. In socio-religious, the first heading should be interference in religious matter. They have tried to intervene. Who have tried? The British. They have tried. They had made laws for the abolition of sati. So they have tried to interfere in the religious matter. Then racial superiority. Racially, they had always considered themselves superior. So these are the two important points which can be considered as a social religious cause for the revolt of 1857. Then an economic cause, there can be three important points. First, heavy taxation on the peasants. Second, decline of handicraft industries. Third, free trade policy. I hope these points are very clear to you all. The third important heading, political. As you all know, they passed policies to control the people. You have learnt about the doctrine of lapse policy, subsidiary alliance. All these policies were important and they have passed to control the people. And second important point, absence of Indian sovereignty. The Indians were not allowed to govern the people, their own people, to make laws for the people. Now, fourth important heading. We have already discussed about this, but yes, two important points here I would like to mention. First, spoils peasants in uniform. Okay, they were just peasants in uniform. A spoy in infantry got 7 rupees a month. A swar in the cavalry was paid rupees 27, out of which he had to pay for his own uniform, food, and the upkeep of his mount. And he was ultimately left with only a rupee or two. So they didn't have more emoluments. Right? Second, General Service Enlistment Act, which was passed in 1856, it was passed and it stated that the spoils had to travel overseas whenever there was a requirement by the company. So this was against the religious sentiments of the Brahmins. They were not supposed to cross overseas. So these four important headings were important for economic, social-religious, discontent among spoils, and political, and these were considered primarily as the causes of revolt of 1857 and the immediate cause you all know. So this was a situation in 1857. Now what you all can do, you can just analyze all these things and then we can come easily to the concluding part, that what happened, what was the consequence of the revolt. The consequence was very simple. The consequence was that the company's rule ended and there was a direct rule by the British crown now, right? Some administrative changes were done and militarily the reorganization was done and Delhi was reoccupied by the English by September 1857. Bahadur Shah's two sons were executed and he was sent to Rangoon. Sacrifices of Gobind Singh in Bihar on 25th April 1858. Occupation of Jhansi was done in February 1858. By April 1859, Tatya Tope was hanged. Revolution replaced the company's rule to the ground. So these were considered as the main consequences of the revolt. In detail, we can definitely have a class, but our main focus here is that all kind of steps taken by the spoils can be considered as a source of liberation for the people. For the people who were not being emancipated from the foreign rule yet. So this was a kind of inspiration. Yes, it failed because it lacked organized leadership, it lacked resources, it lacked military strength. They were fighting, these boys were fighting only with the strength. They only had the courage. People were also not people from other regions of their own country. They were not supporting them. So they were fighting only with one thing, that was the courage. And this courage became a source of inspiration for others to follow. In the end, I would like to quote a very important statement of Michael Gills. If anything is progressive, then we make progress. So here we must understand that the progress happened. The progress happened here from the year 1857 with the first war of independence, and this has served a grand purpose, and that purpose was the source of inspiration for the national liberation movement. And with this, we could achieve the independence for which we have yearned a lot. So thanks to all the rebels, the spoils, for making the supreme sacrifices for all. I request you all to go through this episode again, try to make your own interpretation, and please, please, please join my next episode and be connected with me. Stay connected with me. Till then, take care of yourself and bye-bye. Hello everyone, welcome back all of you to my second episode. I hope you all are fine and taking very good care of yourself. Not only this, you must have enjoyed my last episode, isn't it? I hope you all are saying yes. I'm trusting you all. With this trust, I will be starting today's show, today's episode. And before I start up with the most captivating story lying in the background of this Indian national movement, let me take a pause. All of you, please take a deep breath. Very good. Close your eyes. Yes, I'm revolving the wheel of time for you all and taking you all in the year 1857, when the first major rebellion against the British rule took place. In which place? In Meerut, by Indian troops. I hope you all are with me. Very good. You all must have visualized this place. And you all are now in 1857 year. Now you all can open your eyes. Thank you. Now tell me one thing. How many of you have visited Meerut? It's a very nice place. Especially, I remember the famous Jain Shikanji there. Ooh, it's mouth-watering, isn't it? Probably, if you have tried drinking that famous Jain Shikanji, you can easily imagine what I'm saying right now. Not a problem. Now, just come with me. If you have not visited this place, what can you do? How can you visualize? It's very easy. It's very simple. Just open an atlas and open the map of India. try to locate this place, made it on the map. Now, why I'm focusing on this place? Because this was the place which was the birthplace of this famous revolt. The famous revolt, the revolt of 1857. This place is just around 65 kilometers away from Delhi, the capital of India. Yes, yes. So you can now easily imagine and understand its location. Now I'm taking you back to the history. English East India Company arrived this place, Meerut, around 1803. Years are important here, so I'm just taking reference from one of the important book of A.K. Gandhi. From there I have taken this year. So English East India Company arrived in Meerut around 1803, and they set up their large cantonment. Cantonment, you must understand here. They have tried to set up large cantonments, the camp, the military garrison or a camp, around 1806. So they set up their cantonments, large cantonments or military garrisons or camp there. By 1857, they were able to increase their military presence there. So that is why this area was very important. And here, six major regiments were there. Regiments, you understand? We can say the groups of soldiers in particular area who are commonly controlled, or we can say who are deployed and they are controlled by an official, particular official. Okay, so six regiments were there, three native and three British. These were important, that is why I'm mentioning here. So I'm taking you here in 1857. In 1857, the military presence of English East India Company, or I can say there was an increase in cantonments, the military garrison or camp in this area. So the sepoys, I'm using this word used by the British for the Indian troops. Sepoys, they were very important here, and they were being recruited from Punjab, and remaining were recruited from Awadh. They were very important. Now suddenly what happened in 1857? We have to understand. We need to analyze. We need to visualize that what happened in 1857 suddenly to these troops. Were they all fine? Were everything was okay? Or just it was not okay? Now what happened in this year? English East India Company, they have tried to introduce a very special kind of rifle, and the name of the rifle was Enfield rifle. You all must have learned in your history textbook. And in your history textbook, you must have seen the picture of Enfield rifle. If not, you can easily download this image of Enfield rifle, and you can see that it was loaded with a cartridge. Okay, the cartridge was loaded into the gun, and this cartridge was wrapped in a paper, and that paper was soaked or greased with the fats of cows and pigs. So what was the problem? That in order to operate this gun, or we can say rifle, what they had to do, a soldier had to do, he has to bite off the end of the cartridge. Okay, so this was something against their religious sentiment. So they refused to load the rifles, and this was the immediate cause. This enraged the Englishmen, as they were insensitive to the religious sentiments of the Indians. They were not at all bothered about these kind of things. So that's why they have introduced and they have asked Indian troops to use it. But have they used it? No. They simply refuse to use this Enfield rifles. And we need to note here the important place. The important place, the Barakpur, where the first important rebellion, or we can say a rebellious act, took place in the 34th Native Infantry Regiment. Okay, in this, what happened? Mangal Pandey, a man who knew no fear, and now we salute him for his act, revolted against the use of Enfield rifle. What happened after this? What could have happened? Can you imagine? Yes, you all can very well imagine. After this, this Native Infantry Regiment, 34th Native Infantry Regiment, was disbanded, and Mangal Pandey was hanged on 8th April, which year? 1857. Yes, you're right. So, now, after this, the Englishmen still were trying on this, that Indians should use, Indian troops, they should use this Enfield rifle. Now, what happened on 24th April 1857? Spoils of 3rd Bengal Light Cavalry Regiment. They were ordered to assemble in parade ground for the use of this new cartridge. Now, again, they were asked to use this rifle. Out of 85 men, they have refused to use it. Okay? And this was the first mass opposition, the first mass opposition against the British people by the Indian troops, by the Indians. And what were the consequences? Again, they were all imprisoned, and on 8th May, the troops of 3rd Bengal Light Cavalry Regiment were court-martialed. And with this, what happened? The official startup of the rebellion. Which rebellion? Rebellion of 1857 started on 10th May 1857, and how it was spread, that we will understand, that we have to analyze. We all have already read about in the textbook. But here the main point is that we need to understand the pain and the sentiments of those Indians who were being court-martialed, who were being court-martialed for what? For not using Enfield rifles. Those Enfield rifles which were actually causing them to dishearten them. Disheartening them for what? For their religious sentiments. This religiously, they were causing them, or I can say making them weak. So what they did? What did they get? They got this kind of response from the Englishmen. Now here I will be concluding today's episode. But before I could conclude the episode, let me sum up a few points about this revolt of 1857. As I have told you, it was the first expression of organized resistance. Second, it began as a revolt of spoils, but slowly it began to spread among the masses. Not I can say that it could spread nicely, but yes, it slowly it was penetrating among the masses. Revolt is also known as, very important thing you all can pen down, that is known by the several names: Sepoy Mutiny by the British historians, Indian Mutiny, the Great Rebellion by Indian historians, and the First War of Independence by V.D. Savarkar. So you must understand the pain of Indian and the courage of the Indian. The courage imprints which they have left on others. It was so strong that others could stand together to revolt the mighty British people. Now here, the words of Karl Marx, you all know who was the Karl Marx. So the words of Karl Marx are just echoing in my mind. Let me share with you all. He said very clearly, the oppressed are allowed once every few years to decide which particular representative of the oppressing class are to represent and repress them. So with this, I'm giving a pause and I'm asking you all to understand what we have learned today. Try to pen down all those important points which we have discussed today and give your interpretation. That is important in history. If you are able to give your interpretation, it means that you are able to imagine the pain of those innocent minds. Thank you everyone. Stay connected with me in my next episodes also. Till then, take care. And bye-bye.